Chapter 7 Love, Marriage and Partnership. Marriage is a complex relationship involving somewhat every department of life. Even friendship, the financial success, honor and the attitude of relatives are influenced by marriage, and especially does it include as its outstanding factors, a close partnership, association with the opposite sex, affection, and the love embrace. The thoughts, feelings and impulses of the soul before human birth, derived from its experience with each of these distinctive departments of life, are not retained in a single compartment of the astral body. Instead, they originally were built into, and now reside in, the particular compartment of the astral body mapped by the house or dynamic stellar structure corresponding to the department of their origin. If the one important thing about marriage, for instance, were the amount of financial success it would bring, the partnership house and the houses of money, especially the eighth, which is the house of the partner's money, would be the chief things to consider in a birth chart. Marriage to certain other persons is measured, as to its desirability, almost exclusively by the love embrace. That there is little kindness shown, and much strife and bickering at other times, seems of no importance. With such a yardstick, marriage must be measured almost exclusively by the fifth house. The four factors of success in marriage, because what people expect and desire from marriage are so diverse, it is impossible to give the factors in the order of sequence of their importance to all. The sequence must be changed to meet special needs. Possibly the following order of importance applies to the average person. 1. Partnership, the stellar cells and stellar structures mapped by the seventh house, their harmony or discord and the intensity of their activity, as well as the general quality, determine the kind of partners in general that are attracted into the life. If Saturn is in the seventh, all partners will tend to be serious and cold. If Jupiter is there, they will tend to be jovial and benevolent. If the Sun occupies this house, they will tend to dignity and importance. Thus, from the planet in the seventh, or less precisely from the ruler of the cusp of the seventh, can be gauged the general type of partner, which the individual will have. How the partner thus indicated will affect the life must be determined by the aspects formed by the ruler of the seventh. These indicate not only the thought compound, of which the stellar cells in the compartment of the astral body relating to partnerships are formed, but also open lines of energy exchange, of definite harmony or discord, with other compartments in the astral body. Because the thought cells of the partnership compartment are connected, for instance, with the thought cells of the money compartment, by a stellar aerial mapped by an aspect from the seventh house to the second house, money will be an important factor, as influencing the success of the partnership. The partnership, likewise, because of this free communication of energy between those compartments, will have an important bearing upon the financial success. The more prominent the planet, and the more powerful its aspect to the ruler of the seventh, the more influence the things relating to its compartment in the astral body will have over the partnership. Such influences are mutual. But the compartment having the stronger influence over the other is the one with the most active stellar cells, that is, mapped by the most prominent planet. Consequently, if there is a planet in the seventh made prominent by having several powerful aspects, and the planet ruling the second is not prominent, an aspect between the two indicates that the partnership will have more influence upon money than money will have upon the partnership. But if the planet ruling the second is more prominent than the planet ruling the seventh, money will have more influence upon the partnership than the partnership will have upon money. This, of course, is a principle which can be applied to the aspects of planets between any two houses. The activity of the stellar cells mapped by a planet determines the amount of their influence, both in relation to the life, and in relation to the amount of influence exerted by any other group of stellar cells mapped by another planet to which there is an aspect. It is the thought energy possessed and exerted which, in all cases, determines the amount and kind of influence mapped by any position in the birth chart or by any progressed aspect. The nature of the influence exerted by one department of life over another department, as indicated by the aspect between two planets, must be gauged by the nature of the aspect. If, for instance, there is a trine aspect between the ruler of the seventh and the ruler of the second, partnership will tend to bring good luck in money matters and money matters will tend to bring good luck in partnership. But if the aspect is a square, the partnership will be an obstacle to financial success, and financial difficulties will be an obstacle to the success of partnership. In judging the influence of any department of life, every aspect to the ruling planet should be taken into consideration, not merely as a harmony or discord, but as indicating a definite kind of condition, which arises from the department of life, which the other planet rules. It should be considered as an opportunity, an obstacle, friction, luck, agitation, etc., arising from the department indicated by the house position and rulership of the planet making the aspect, which tends to influence the department of life being considered in this definite way. Thus must the partnership be judged to influence, and be influenced by, every planet making an aspect to the ruler of the seventh. As a rule, either Uranus or Neptune, insofar as they are involved in it, tend to disrupt marriage and bring separation. In the seventh house there are instances, when exceptionally well aspected, in which they bring the finest type of marriage relations. But even in such cases the circumstances of the union are decidedly unusual. The cusp of the seventh merely being occupied by Aquarius or Pisces, however, is not so drastic. Upton Sinclair, for instance, with Aquarius on the cusp of the seventh, but with the other three marriage factors harmonious, has had an exceptionally fortunate marriage in all ways. But an afflicted Uranus in the seventh is another matter, as illustrated by the chart of Jean Harlow, here presented. Mars conjunction Uranus in the seventh, and both heavily otherwise afflicted, has brought tragedy and disruption to her marital relations. Any aspect of the sun in a woman's chart or of the moon in a man's chart to the planet Uranus tends toward unconventional conduct. It is the freedom planet, and its individualism expresses thus in relation to the opposite sex. Any aspect of the sun in a woman's chart, or of the moon in a man's chart to Neptune tends to a peculiar unrealizable idealism regarding the opposite sex. Neptune in the seventh is not suddenly disruptive, as is Uranus, but the partner is given imaginary qualities, which the realities of life do not permit of fulfillment. The partner may be strangely afflicted, the one desired may already be married, a queer slow process of estrangement may occur, or some involved condition develop which leads to an unsatisfactory married experience. 2. Opposite sex, aside from partnerships and the affections, the opposite sex has an influence upon each life. To an extent undreamed of by most, a woman's health depends upon the astral and electromagnetic forces radiated by her brothers, her father, her husband and all the men she even remotely comes near. The kind of energy she thus receives from men, as well as the influence of men in general upon her life, is determined by the stellar cells mapped by the sun in her birth chart. If the sun is well aspected, she will attract to herself, because the thought cells relating to the opposite sex are harmonious, favors and fortune from men. But if the sun is afflicted, it indicates that the thought cells relating to the opposite sex are inharmoniously compounded, and she will attract misfortune from men accordingly. Man, in no less degree, depends for health and inspiration upon the astral and electromagnetic forces radiated by his sisters, his mother, His wife and all the women he approaches even closely enough for a conversation or a handshake. The kind of energy he thus receives from women, as well as the influence of women in general upon his life, is determined by the manner in which the stellar cells within his astral body mapped in the birth chart by the moon are compounded. If the moon is afflicted by aspect, women in general prove a detriment such as the aspect indicates. But if the moon receives good aspects, it reveals that the thought compounds built of his experiences with the opposite sex are harmonious, and that women will favor and assist him. Man depends largely upon woman for magnetic power, and woman depends largely upon man for vital strength. Even as the thoughts of an individual tune his astral and electromagnetic energies to their vibratory rate, so also the sex of an individual gives a distinctive quality, both to his astral energies and to his electromagnetic energies. Aside, that is, from being vital electromagnetic energy or constitutional electromagnetic energy, the electromagnetic energies are either strongly or weakly sexed, according to the individual, and are either masculine or feminine according to the gender. Those who have no contact by speech or handshake with the opposite sex become one-sided creatures. Thus does monastic life become an open avenue for all manner of fantastic beliefs and obsessions. Such isolation from the balancing magnetic contacts are always indicated in the birth chart by an unusually severe affliction. 3. Affections, the strength, importance and success of the affections in general, without reference specifically to the marriage partner, children, relatives, or friends, is to be judged from the planet Venus. The affections are important in the life and powerful to the extent that the planet Venus is prominent. Their general satisfaction, or lack of it, is indicated by the aspects Venus receives. And these aspects, by the house positions of the planets making them and the house position of Venus, indicate what things conduce to, or detract from, affectional success, and in what manner. 4. Love affairs, which include those that result in marriage and those that do not, and the circumstances relating to them, including the embrace of marriage, are to be judged from the fifth house. Venus may well play an important part in lovemaking, but some lovemaking has very little of the Venus quality of affection in it. The individual who has Venus prominent in his chart will desire Venus expression, but in actual lovemaking, and in the success of it, the thought cells mapped by the fifth house play the determining role. If Mars is in the fifth, lovemaking will attract strife; if Saturn is there, a quality of coolness will develop; or if the moon is in this house, a passion, lack of constancy will play a part. How these influences will affect the life, of course, must be determined by the aspects of the ruler of the fifth and the houses occupied by the planets aspecting it. The thoughts, feelings, impulses and emotions relating to the love embrace, and to other pleasures have been built into the compartment of the individual's astral body mapped by the fifth house. What will be attracted to him relating to pleasures and the love embrace, therefore, must be judged from the fifth house. And to the extent this relation is a factor of importance in marriage, the fifth house conduces to, or detracts from, the marital happiness. Opportunities to marry, as a general rule, the aspects to which the moon applies in a man's chart, and the aspects to which the sun applies in a woman's chart, represent the opportunities to marry. The first complete aspect the significator thus makes is the first opportunity, the second complete aspect is the second opportunity, and so on. A composite pictures of partners in general may be had by reversing the chart, and judging it as if the seventh were the partners first. But in selecting from among various opportunities to acquire a husband or wife, the particular woman is indicated by the aspect to which the moon applies, and the particular man is indicated by the aspect to which the sun applies. In a man's chart, if the first aspect made by the moon were to Uranus in the 10th, this would indicate a woman who is eccentric or interested in some unusual pursuit, and in some manner associated with business. If the second aspect were to Saturn in the 6th, this would indicate a later acquaintance of more serious and laborious turn, who, in some manner was related to illness, or was a servant or inferior. In a woman's chart, if the first aspect made by the sun were to Neptune in the 11th, the man so indicated would be visionary, a promoter, and his relation to friends would be noticeable. If the second aspect completed by the sun were to Jupiter in the 4th, the man so designated would be jovial, probably possessing wealth, and interested in real estate or the hotel business. Usually every planet to which the significator of the opposite sex completes an aspect before leaving the sign indicates a possible opportunity to marry. If the chart otherwise is pronouncedly a marrying chart, there may be opportunities beyond those thus shown. If the chart is not strong for marriage, the weaker aspects thus indicated will bring only friendships that will not develop far enough to imply marriage. Gemini or Sagittarius on the 7th rather frequently gives a second marriage. The value of being able thus to determine the individual who is indicated by any planet to which the significator of the opposite sex applies lies in revealing the fortune which the life would have in association with each prospect so designated. If the planet thus applied to were much afflicted, the individual also would be similarly afflicted. But if the planet indicating the particular marriage opportunity were powerful and well aspected, the partner would be likewise fortunate. If the application made is by good aspect, it signifies that the relation between husband and wife would be harmonious, to the extent there might be harmony with any partner. But if the application made is by adverse aspect, it signifies that the relation between husband and wife will tend to be discordant, according to the nature of the aspect. Therefore, if the sun in a woman's chart, or the moon in a man's chart, applies favorably to the first planet with which an aspect is completed, and by adverse aspect to the second planet, the first opportunity to marry is the better. But if the first application is to an adverse aspect, or even to a planet much afflicted, and the second or third aspect is a harmonious aspect to a more favorable planet, it is better to ignore the early opportunity and wait for the later one. The planets to which sun or moon thus applies, by their characteristics and the house occupied, give hints sufficiently clear to enable each individual so indicated to be recognized. Whom to marry: many factors conduce to, or detract from, the suitability of two persons to wed, but in particular there should be magnetic harmony, kindred intellectual interests, and not two divergent spiritual ideals. 1. Physical harmony: between people so closely associated as man and wife there is an exchange of electromagnetic energies. The etheric body is a union of energies of opposite polarities, solar electromagnetic energy and lunar electromagnetic energy. This electromagnetic energy, generated by the chemical processes of the body, is really the life of the physical form. The nerve currents are such energies traveling over the nerves. And their vibratory rates, aside from those given temporarily by the transient thoughts and feelings, are determined by the thought cells of the astral body, as mapped by the planets. The positive electromagnetic energy is ruled by the sun. Its quality, therefore, is largely determined by the sun sign, but to a degree also by any planet aspecting the sun, for such a planet reaches the etheric body through the dynamic stellar structure mapped by the sun, into which its aerial leads. The negative electromagnetic energy is ruled by the moon. Its quality is largely determined by the sign occupied by the moon in the birth chart, and to a much less degree by any planet aspecting the Moon. Such an aspect implies an area leading into the dynamic stellar structure mapped by the Moon, through which it gains direct access to the etheric body. Any planet aspecting Mercury, at times, through the thoughts it stimulates, reaches and influences the quality of the etheric body. The conscious thoughts, ruled by Mercury, tune the electromagnetic energies to their vibration. But this influence is pronounced only while the particular thoughts are prominent in the mind. It may, therefore, be considered not as the permanent rate to which the nerve currents vibrate, but merely as those tune in on temporarily. Aside from such temporary tuning in by means of the conscious thoughts, which may or may not be habitual, the quality of the electromagnetic energies of the body may be determined chiefly by the signs occupied by the Sun and Moon, carrying in minor degree the vibratory rate of the planets from which these luminaries receive aspects. In reaching the outside world, however, the solar electromagnetic energies and the lunar electromagnetic energies, thus colored by planetary vibrations, as indicated by their aspects, must pass over the ground wire mapped by the degree on the ascendant. Electromagnetic energy, which thus passes over the ground wire to the world without, is known as personal magnetism. This ground wire itself has a vibratory quality, which also is imparted to such electromagnetic energies as pass over it. Not only the sign on the ascendant must thus be considered, but all planets in the first house also, because they are closely enough associated with the ground wire to impart their vibratory rates to it. The magnetism of an individual, therefore, is not a simple energy, but a compound of solar energy and lunar energy of the quality indicated by the signs occupied, and the aspects made by Sun and Moon, to which still other vibratory rates are added by the sign on the usk, planets in the first house, and planets strongly aspecting the degree on the usk. To the extent electromagnetic energies have a similar vibratory quality, they the more readily fuse and blend. The magnetism of watery signs blends best with the magnetism of watery signs. It also blends in less degree with the magnetism of earthly signs, but will no more blend with the magnetism of fiery signs than oil will blend with water. Magnetism of the fiery signs blends most readily with it of fiery signs. It blends somewhat with it of the airy signs, but refuses to unite with the magnetism of the earthly signs. If the Sun in one chart is in a fiery sign and the Moon or ascendant of another chart is in a fiery sign, the magnetisms, to the extent shown, are given a fiery vibration, and to that extent will fuse pleasantly. That is, for magnetic harmony, it is not absolutely essential that the Sun signs shall be of the same triplicity, or even of complementary triplicity, although the energies blend more completely when they are. Electromagnetic energy of the same, or of complementary quality, will blend whether given its quality by the Sun, Moon or Ascendant. But the blend is more perfect if in both cases it is given by the Sun, in both cases by the Moon, or in both cases by the Ascendant. The electromagnetic energies of an individual are subject to being somewhat raised or lowered through the mental attitude or sympathy for another. After all, the vibratory rate they possess, as mapped by the signs and planets in the birth chart, is due to the vibratory quality of the thought cells in the astral body. That is, the solar electromagnetic energy has a quality determined by the thought cells of the dynamic stellar structure mapped by the Sun. If the Sun receives a strong aspect from Uranus, it indicates that the thought cells mapped by the Sun have in their composition also some of the Uranian thought element. And this, to an extent, modifies their vibratory quality, because in addition to the vibrations of the Sun sign, they partake of these Uranian thought element vibrations. The vibrations of the electromagnetic energy which, when it is radiated to others, is termed personal magnetism is quite complex, for in addition to other qualities they partake of the sex of the individual. Electromagnetic energies of similar vibratory rate fuse readily, and without jar or discomfort, and if at the same time they are of opposite sex, and to the extent they are strongly sexed, there is pronounced attraction of the one for the other. But even when of the opposite sex, magnetisms which are of two dissimilar characteristics do not fuse or blend, and often are violently destructive, one to the other, the weakest suffering most. When the vibrations are thus so divergent, as indicated by signs which are contradictory opposites, such as Aries and Cancer, Capricorn and Gemini, or Taurus and Leo, they cannot be brought into synchronism, and they jar from their impact. When the divergence of vibratory rates is less antagonistic, having certain factors of similarity, as indicated in the birth chart, under kindness and sympathy the feelings so engendered are able to raise or lower or otherwise adjust to each other, so that they enter into a satisfactory fusion. Even when there is rather wide divergence in birth chart vibratory frequencies, the conditions of courtship may bring about the feeling of sympathy, which adjusts the vibratory rates of the electromagnetic energies, one to the other. Under such conditions, so long as the kindness lasts and hardships do not too greatly, through thoughts about them, cause a reversion to the natural birth chart vibrations, the magnetic blend will persist. But when, as often occurs after marriage, irritations arise, and financial worries absorb much of the attention, this artificial adjustment of electromagnetic vibratory rates is destroyed, and each has as the normal quality of personal magnetism only that which the thought cells, as mapped in the birth chart, impart to it. That is, the quality imparted to it by love of the other departs, as soon as the love no longer is a vigorous and persistent factor in the consciousness coloring the thoughts. When this transpires, husband and wife, whose magnetisms fused nicely during courtship and the honeymoon, find the blending no longer present, and each wonders why the magnetism of the other is so annoying. If, however, the quality of the magnetism of each is quite similar to that of the other, due to the signed vibrations of the thought cells in the astral body mapped by sun, moon or ascendant, their normal everyday electromagnetic energies fuse harmoniously without particular adjustment on their part. When irritations arise, their temporary tuning in on different rates, due to the thoughts and feelings at the time, may make it impossible for the electromagnetic energies to blend. But as soon as the difficulty is passed, and each has a normal mental attitude, there is, without special effort on their part, a satisfactory blending of electromagnetic energies again. In marriage, therefore, it is favorable when the electromagnetic energies have, as shown by sun, moon and usk in the birth chart, much in common, and not too much which is of the contradictory quality. For practical purposes, and without going into the fine points, the personal magnetism of individuals may be broadly classed into two polarities, electric and magnetic. The positive signs, and the positive planets, give the electromagnetic energies of the body a positive, electric quality. The negative signs, and negative planets, give the electromagnetic energies of the body a negative magnetic quality. Electric personal magnetism blends well with electric personal magnetism, especially if the sexes of the persons are opposite. Magnetic personal magnetism blends nicely with magnetic personal magnetism. But electric personal magnetism will not blend with magnetic personal magnetism. They recoil from each other, and close association is injurious to both. Very few people are exclusively electric or exclusively magnetic in temperament. To the extent there are elements in common, the magnetisms will readily fuse. When the electromagnetic vibratory rates are about equally divided between positive and negative, the temperament is said to be electromagnetic. These people are able to blend with all other types somewhat, but not so thoroughly as do those more pronouncedly of the same temperament. In referring to this matter of energy exchange, which is so important in the close and constant association implied by marriage, in addition to the general vibratory quality of the electromagnetic energy, or personal magnetism, it is found that when a planet in one chart occupies the same degree of the zodiac as a planet in the other chart, there is a ready exchange of astral energies of the nature indicated by the planets involved. Each planet maps the terminal of a stellar aerial, and if there is a dynamic structure acting as such a terminal in the same degree of the same zone in the astral body of each, this affords the facilities for astral energy exchange. The nature of the energy given to the other is shown by the planet and its aspect in the chart of the one who imparts it. Thus, if Saturn in one chart is in the same degree as Mars in another chart, a close association of the two persons enables the Saturn energy to reach the Mars terminal. And to the extent Saturn is afflicted, it imparts to the Mars terminal in harmonious energy. And because Mars and Saturn are discordant, one to the other, even if not afflicted, the energy exchange is detrimental to both. Venus and Mars, however, between those of opposite sex are natural lovers. Mars in one chart on Venus in the other, other things not interfering, often brings a strong and lasting attachment. The Sun in one chart on the Moon in the chart of a person of opposite sex also indicates an exchange of energy, which is usually satisfactory and lasting. In this case, however, because Sun and Moon rule them, the exchanges of electromagnetic energies as well as those astral. It is probably not good practice to consider such exchanges if the planets are much more than one degree apart in the zodiac. As to the general influence on the various departments of life of one person when closely associated with another, this can be determined, although subject to many modifications, by considering in which house of the chart of one the planets in the chart of the other fall. For instance, if one person has Virgo on the 10th, and the other person has Jupiter in Virgo, the influence of the second person on the first would be to increase the business. It is only with a minor degree of force, as if Jupiter were placed in his own 10th house. If Jupiter in the second person's chart were well aspected, it would be more favorable, of course, than if discordantly aspected. By thus inserting the planets according to the degree of the zodiac they occupy, from one person's chart into the chart of another, much can be learned of the manner in which any partnership will influence the life of each. 2. Mental harmony. To be companionable, people must have at least some interests in common. If all the husband cares for is business and baseball games, and all the wife cares for is literature and social affairs, they are sure to bore each other, and probably will seek companionship with those of kindred tastes. It is a mistake, as a rule to which there are numerous exceptions, for husband and wife to have abilities so closely identical that they become rivals. Too frequently, when this is the case, there is jealousy of the praise bestowed upon each other. It is better that each have qualities which the other has not, but which the other admires. Yet their tastes should be sufficiently alike that they have interests in common. The best possible mental combination is when husband and wife are vitally and enthusiastically absorbed in some interest to which each contributes an element which the other cannot. How to determine the things an individual will be interested in, and thus if two people will be mentally compatible, may be determined from the temperament, disposition and mental ability, as set forth in lesson number 105. 3. Spiritual harmony. People tend to be uncomfortable when closely associated with those whose characters are in marked contrast to their own. The character includes those deep-seated traits which most resist change. Rules for judging it are given in lesson number 105. The spiritual level, including the religious conceptions, the ideals, and the many individual trends and traits, all are embraced in character. One who lives on a low spiritual level, likes riotous living, is keenly dishonest, and cares nothing for others or for the future life, is quickly irked by the companionship of a clean living, honest and pious companion. A materialist husband is a source of incessant worry to a spiritual wife. One who cares only for the flesh pots is hardly a suitable mate for a fine-grained aesthete. A divergent philosophy of life, because philosophy determines action, is a common source of discord between wedded people. If one is progressive, is interested in astrology and the occult, and the other is conservative enough to believe that such things are the work of the devil, it does not conduce to happiness. Many instances are brought to our notice, too, in which one of a married pair concludes that all expression of sex is sin, while the other believes such doctrines are contrary, both to sound psychology and to physical health. Both then consider the other selfish in demanding a type of life of which the other does not approve. Had they the same ideals, they would be spared such misery. The sun sign is mapping the most deep-seated and permanent of all the thought elements comprised within the astral body, is a significant factor in determining spiritual harmony. Fire and water, of course, are wide apart in their spiritual relations, as revealed by the motives of their conduct. And even the degree of the zodiac occupied by the sun seems to be quite important in their respect. John A. Hadalier, member of the California State Bar Association, after a 13-year research published in the NA Journal for February 1934, a graph showing the grouping of actual divorce cases in his files according to the degree occupied by the sun. This graph indicates that when the sun in the birth charts of husband and wife are near the sextile and trine to each other, there are the fewest number of divorces, but that when they are near the semi-square, square, sisky square and opposition, divorces are most numerous. The square aspect brings the most divorces. Those of the semi-square and sisky square are about half as many as indicated by the square, and the opposition aspect, probably due to the principle of polar opposites, exhibits only about half the divorces shown by the semi-square and sisky square. When to marry, from merely a comparison of the birth charts of a man and a woman, it cannot be determined whether or not they can make a success of marriage. All that can thus be ascertained is to what extent the fundamental harmonies are present between them which promote marital happiness. In an afflicted chart, conditioning by environment since birth may have developed complexes or fixations that make it impossible for its owner to make a success of marriage with anyone. But statistical studies show that while an individual is under harmonious progressed aspects, he is unlikely to be attracted toward marrying an individual with such a complex or fixation, or who is otherwise so constituted that he cannot get along successfully with anyone in marriage. In the reference book, Astrology 30 Years Research, the progressed aspects are analyzed for 215 different marriages. People may marry when the progressed moon is in any house, or making any aspect, or making no aspect, but they only marry when there is a major progressed aspect, other than the moon, within one degree of perfect, to the ruler of the seventh. There is no planet of marriage, but when there is a progressed aspect to the ruler of the seventh, a progressed aspect to Venus favors marriage. And in a woman's chart, when there is a progressed aspect to the ruler of the seventh, a progressed aspect to Mars tends even more strongly toward marriage than does a progressed aspect to Venus. In the mentioned reference book, the birth charts and progressed aspects of 100 persons, both at the time they married and at the time they separated or divorced, are also analyzed. At the time of marriage, 79 of them had a discordant progressed aspect dominant, and only 3 of them had harmonious progressed aspects dominant. A large percentage of these people who divorced later remarried when their progressed aspects were harmonious, and made a success of the later marriage. Thus, one of the most important steps in making a success of marriage is the selection of a time for the marriage when there are harmonious progressed aspects strong enough to act as rallying forces, and a harmonious progressed aspect to the ruler of the seventh. If, at the same time, Venus and the ruler of the opposite sex are an afflicted by progressed aspect, so much the better. Progressed aspects from Sun, Moon or Venus to Uranus or Neptune tend to bring into the life romantic affairs. If Neptune is the dominant influence at the time, they tend to fizzle, and if Uranus is the dominant influence at the time, the attachment may be very strong while it lasts, but commonly lasts only so long as the progressed aspect to Uranus remains within 1 degree of perfect. As to the actual day and time of marriage, it is well, as in starting any important enterprise, to select a proper time for it. The chart of the marriage, erected for the time the minister says, "I now pronounce you husband and wife," should have, in addition to other favors, as good a seventh house as possible. Children, the relation of children to the individual, and their effect upon the life, is to be judged from the fifth house. Fruitful planets and a fruitful sign on the fifth are indications of children, but whether the sun sign, moon sign and usk are fruitful must also be considered. The relation of the children to the individual, whether they will be a source of just pride or a cause of trouble, and the nature of the benefit or difficulty, is to be judged solely from the fifth house. It is significant that pleasures and children are ruled by the same house. That is, the thought cells relating to both are in the same compartment of the astral body. This means that children conceived in discord, such as indicated by an afflicted house of pleasure, are of a type which are themselves discordant. The law of affinity thus indicates that when there is love and harmony between husband and wife, that the soul attracted will have similar qualities of harmony, which will be evident in the child's birth chart. Astrology should be used by all parents in bringing children into the world. Childbearing should not be a hit or miss affair. It should be premeditated. More details as to this will be found in lesson number 167, but anyone can look ahead in the ephemeris 273 days and note, if the positions of the planets will be favorable for a child then born. It is true that gestation may be somewhat shorter or longer than this period, but even so the sun sign and heavier aspects, which last over considerable time, can thus be known. And by applying the prenatal epoch, as explained in lesson number 117, a chart can be selected in detail for the child, using the rules they're given to work back to find the proper moment for conception. If the parents cannot attract a soul having such qualities, there will be no conception. But if conception takes place, the child will not be a burden to its parents and to society, but such as the selected chart indicates. The home should be judged exclusively by the fourth house. Uranus in the fourth is a disturbing element. Jupiter there gives a rather sumptuous place and enjoyment in it. Venus lends itself, when in the fourth, to harmony and a place of comfort. The home, it should be understood, as thus ruled by the fourth, is not just a house, but the whole domestic environment, including people. Servants are to be judged from the sixth house. A benefic there indicates that those who work for one will give valuable service. Much of the late President Woodrow Wilson's success is attributed to the willing and capable services rendered him by those in his employ. He had Jupiter in his sixth, Mars in the sixth gives quarrelsome servants, and difficulties with them. Neptune in the sixth gives servants, who are dreamers and little inclined to work. Saturn indicates those laborious, and if well aspected, that they work hard for their employer, but if afflicted that they have only their own advantage in view. Thus the type of individuals who will be attracted into the person's service is indicated by planets in the sixth, or the ruler of the cusp of the sixth, but the benefit or detriment they are to him must be judged by the aspects these planets receive. Father and mother. Theoretically, it would seem that the mother should be ruled by the fourth, as this is the natural house position of the mother sign, Cancer. With no theory to uphold, and not caring in the least as to results, we conducted an impartial analysis, based on the progressed aspects to the rulers of the tenth and fourth at the time of the father's death and at the time of the mother's death. This analysis, set forth in the reference book, Astrology 30 Years Research, based on the progressed aspects at the time of death of 100 fathers and 100 mothers, reveals that there is always a progressed aspect to the ruler of the tenth at the time of the death of the mother, but not at the time of the death of the father. Also that there is always a major progressed aspect to the ruler of the fourth at the time of the death of the father, but not at the time of the death of the mother. These results have been verified since in still other ways. Therefore, in judging the influence of the mother in the life, refer to the tenth. Its ruler will have some significance as to her qualities, but chiefly will indicate how she will affect the individual. The aspects will show the benefit or affliction to him from her. From the fourth house is to be judged the influence of the father in the life. The ruler of the fourth will reveal the attitude of the father toward the individual, and the aspects will indicate whether or not, and how much, benefit will be derived from him. Inheritance and the dead. The nature of the inheritance, if any, to be derived from those who die, gifts and bequests from others, and the personal property of the husband or wife, are to be judged from the eighth house. This house indicates also the goodwill, or otherwise, of those who have passed to the next plane, as it affects the life. This is of more significance to those who through the seance room, or through voluntary communion, come in contact with people once of the earth but now living on the inner plane. Collecting debts. This eighth house, as indicating other people's money, is also of particular significance in the matter of being able to collect money which is due. If there are several afflicted planets occupying this house, it indicates financial loss through trusting to the promises of others to pay. If Saturn is there, either debts will be paid slowly or not at all. If Mars is in the eighth, there will be strife over debts, and money due can be collected, if at all, only by forceful action. The practical significance of this is that a person knowing his eighth house is severely afflicted can refrain from permitting others to become indebted to him. If he is a merchant, a cash and carry policy may lose him some customers, but in the long run it will be of financial advantage. Legal matters. Lawsuits are indicated by the seventh house, because it is the house of the person bringing suit or being sued. Thus an afflicted seventh tends to involve the individual in difficulties that must be taken to the court to settle, and the greater the affliction of the seventh, the more damage the opponent will be able to do. But the court itself, where decision is rendered, is ruled by the ninth. For instance, in the reference book, Astrology 30 Years Research, it was found that when separation of husband and wife was taken into court and became a divorce, there was always a major progressed aspect to the ruler of the ninth. From the ninth, therefore, must be determined the attitude of the court, both judge and jury, before whom any civil or criminal case involving the individual is tried. End of life. The circumstances surrounding the end of life are to be judged from the fourth house. Jupiter in this house is an indication that the individual will end his days amid abundance, while Saturn there indicates hard work and responsibilities, and if afflicted enough that actual want will be felt in the closing days. The Sun in the fourth is some indication that toward the end the individual will attain to some prominence or dignity, Mercury, that he will be among books, or engaged in writing, Venus that the surroundings will be bright and pleasant, and the Moon, that the end of life will be full of movement and change. People with Uranus or Neptune in the fourth, who do not become interested in astrology and occultism earlier in life, not infrequently are deeply absorbed in such subjects in their late years. Uranus, of course, is a disruptive influence in domestic life. And Neptune in the fourth, aside from interest in occult matters, has a tendency to influence the individual to retire and live a life away from close contacts with his fellow man, an influence which becomes more insistent as there is advancement in age.